Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue Tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, he's back.
Hey.
Danny Meringue, Dusty Hera. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good, Tater.
Everybody doing good? I'm doing a little bit better now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, now that the AL Cy Young Award winner is not pitching against my Houston Astros in the AL Wild Card Series.
Yeah, Scooble was kind of nasty.
He is so good.
His stuff is filthy.
Like,
man.
You watch him and you just go, "What in the world is this guy?"
Baseball's in a good spot with Scooble and Skeens.
Yep.
Scooble and Skeens sounds like a really good law firm.
Buddy cop. That's Buddy Cop.
Yeah, Scooble and Skeens. Yeah, Buddy Cop movie.
Scooble and Skeens are two guys that are a mismatched pair that get it done. Scooble, who's by the book, Skeens lives on the edges. Saturday on CBS, Scooble and Skeens.
I mean, we've heard this before.
Yeah. We have? Starsky and Hutch.
Basically.
Yep, that's what it is.
Crockett and Starks.
Starsky and Hutch all over again. All right, well.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Yesterday, shout-outs to Caden. He was a server last night at the restaurant my family went to. And you won't understand this, but young Will Ortner sullied the name of Merton Hanks yesterday. Yeah.
Did he make fun of his neck?
No, you can do that. That's been like three decades in the making with Merton Hanks.
He just made fun of his name.
Said yeah.
Merton's a dumb,
he
terrible
name.
He said
it was a dumb, terrible name.
It was like Jonah Hill and Superbad like, making fun of McLovin.
Yeah, you got to put, and I was like, put some respect on Merton Hanks. You know, he did the chicken dance. You know, it was the neck dance.
Four-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, it was a man who, his neck was so long, he wore a wristband on it, for goodness sakes.
And it looked normal.
Yeah. Like, it was, he was dynamite in the back end of the San Francisco 49ers secondary. And he was a Raider, too, right?
Yeah, for a very short period.
Yeah. But, or Seahawk. He was a Seahawk.
Yeah, he was a Seahawk for like a season.
But we needed to put some respect on Merton Hanks' name, right? Merton is an old man's name. Undeniably so.
It is, but I mean, if you rock it,
okay.
You know?
As he did.
He did. And so last night I go out to dinner with my family, and I'm sitting there with my buddy Dennis, and Caden comes up. He's like, hey, It's just randomly. Like, we'd had interactions with him before. He just walks up. He's like, hey, by the way, Merton is a terrible name. Like, took everybody. Everybody's like, what? Like, where did this come from? Like, out of left field here. And I was like, I just immediately started laughing. So shout outs to Caden, who is listening. But second follow up to that is Will Ortner tried to champion yesterday. I am a teacher of youngs, right? There is nobody named Merton. I get this text at 9:46 a.m. In class today, I have a student named Mert, which is as close as you can get to Merton, I believe. Literally, today, he gets a Mert.
He gets a Mert.
He got a Mert today, which made my heart so warm.
I wonder what Mert is short for.
Mertanian.
the fourth musketeer.
Yeah,
Merton
right.
is currently ranked as the 4,087th most popular given
Dude,
name.
Dude, making a comeback. It had to have been in the 5,000s before.
There's an estimated population currently of 3,343 Mertons in the country.
How many are over the age of 80?
3,000.
Yeah.
There is 1.05 people named Merton for every 100,000 Americans.
All right. See, be unique. You know, that's a unique name.
It is.
He's no Will or Danny or Jeff.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a very common name, so I, no, you I can't throw myself
I'll
in
tell you what,
too.
I remember in grade school, I think it was sixth grade, where there were four other Jeffs in my class.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One was a Geoff, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah. Yeah, Geoff is...
The
yeah.
strongest representation of Mertons is in New York, where there's 507 people named Merton.
Well, that makes sense. Since, well, I mean, New York is kind of the most highly concentrated city in the country, too. So
yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
But I would also say that, like, if you met a Merton in New York City, you'd be like, yeah, this guy means business. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. Merton is a very New York name. I'm getting down with that. So shout outs to Caden and shout outs to Ortner for admitting that today, like, he could have just never told me.
Yeah.
Like, we would have been none the wiser that he had a Mert today.
Yeah.
In his class.
Of all days.
And today he got it. He got a Mert in his class, and that made me warm. That made me warm. Ooh, Myrtle.
Yeah,
what about a Myrtle?
That's definitely an old name.
Myrtle? Yeah.
Myrtle.
But Mert could be short
for Myrtle. Oh, yeah,
Myrtle.
I don't know. There's nobody in this country named Myrtle that is younger than about 84.
Yeah. Quick cursory search here. Also, outside of New York, Midwest, super popular for Mert. Michigan with 183, Wisconsin with 114.
Oh, yeah. Don't you know? I went down and I got my lures from Merton.
Interestingly enough, North Dakota, zero.
Zero of them, huh?
Which North Dakota have very strong accents. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. Just wait 8 months and 29 days from now, Portland area will see a huge surge in Mertons born. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's start the Merton comeback. Hmm. Let's go. That from the Vancouver Ford text
line. I'll run that one by the wife, see what she says.
Yeah. Mert was a common Mormon last name where I grew up in a small town in Montana. Well, that's a last name.
Yeah.
We're talking...
No, I'm searching through this, like, through the where it's the first name, not surname, and there are multiple people.
Mert Merang. Mert Merang. That's a strong name. Merton Daniel Merang.
call him M&Ms.
Yeah, you MD.
There you go.
MD Merton Daniel. Yeah, dude.
Actually, Merton Daniel actually kind of works.
We just named your kid.
There you go. I like it.
Call him Doc because he's MD.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Merton Miller is actually the most common form of Mert. There is multiple Merton Millers.
All right.
That is.
Miller, you know, probably, yeah. That's got to be top three most common surname in the country.
And the second is Johnson.
Sorry. So, yeah. We have a follow up. Small Montana town. It was a first name. Mert was a popular first name. In a small, that is a very small Montana town.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's like the Dutton Ranch. Merton Dutton.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My name's Merton.
Mert Dutton.
Yeah. Mert has his own bar stool at the corner of the bar in the small town of Miles City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is called like the Lean To Bar. Yeah. What's the bar's name? The Lean To.
I go in there every day because they need me to help hold it up.
Yep. All right. And that's talking Merton, baby.
Mm. What's going down, Mert?
Ooh.
Four cheeks and two chins. Give me a beer.
Wow. We have a Geoff that is coming back at you, Jeff. He says, as a...
Bring it.
Geoff, let me say, you don't count. Geoff preceded the creation of Jeff, so you guys bastardized the correct spelling. Ooh, that's actually something for Russ that probably get in your craw. Yeah. Like, if you were like...
Okay, I personally didn't bastardize anything.
You have, but you Jeffs with a J have appropriated the name Jeff with your J's.
All right, do we want to talk improper appropriations?
I told you this would get him going.
Jeff Jeffrey is, in the way that you use it, Rust, is a derivative of Geoff.
Joffrey.
I get it. So I understand because
derived
like...
derived from Middle French Godfrey.
Because Italian spellings of certain names, right? Like you'll get your Gianni, right?
Uh-huh.
Which people always say Gianni. Well, no, it's not Gianni. It's Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just like
G-I-A-N-N-I. Yeah. So, hey, I didn't appropriate anything. I just was anglicized with the rest of America.
Hey, well, take it easy there, Jeff. It's a soft J.
Just
in...
like, what? And it's not Giancarlo Stanton. It's Giancarlo Stanton. So suck it.
It's still Mike.
Jeffrey, the original spelling, G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y, is from when the name was introduced in Norman French.
Giraffe.
And it's the preferred spelling in England, where it first gained popularity in the 11th century.
I love how fired up. I knew we could just trigger Rust with, like, just, you appropriated the name.
And I'm he just was throwing like, logs in the fire, man.
Wind up and let him go. You okay? You good?
No.
All right.
I didn't appropriate anything.
All right. Okay. Wow.
As someone who spells my
history
name,
history tells a different story, bud.
S-H-A-U-N.
My
I don't have an issue with
appropriated it.
Sean, S-H-A-W-N, but I definitely have an issue with Sean, S-E-A-N.
Oh, really?
The scene.
Oh, no. See, I think that I'm on the opposite there. See, I think the S-E-A-N, that's the OG. The S-H-A-W-N, you've never met a normal S-H-A-W-N. They're all weird.
Okay. Well, what about this Sean, who's A-U-N?
S-H-A-U. See, that's a different subsect. That's tough. That's tough.
All right.
The name Sean, S-E-A-N, came before the others. It was originally introduced in the 1920s in the United States, and it was more widely used in the 1940s. Right.
That was my freshman year college roommate, Sean Cahill. What's up, Seaner?
See, Sean with a W-N, that guy drives a T-top Camaro with a sheepskin jacket and smokes Marlboro Reds.
Mm.
Why are you saying
that's a bad thing?
Yeah.
Just saying.
What?
Dusty and I's brains both went in the same place.
That's a legit question. Like, you just
that's the
named
archetype.
The cool guy.
Well, yeah. Okay, in 1982, sure, but in 2024?
I don't know, man. It's all coming back around.
Okay.
It's all coming back around.
All right. Boy, we got a lot accomplished here. We triggered Rust. We got into a lot of name stuff.
Mm.
We named Meringue's first kid.
We did.
Or first boy. Merton Daniel.
Texting the wife right now, by the way.
Yeah. It's a strong name. That's a strong name.
I can't wait to hear her response.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, we named our son on the show today.
Yeah. 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 Ooh. Maybe you should Google problematic people name Merton, because maybe there's something that we've missed and we just don't know that yet. You know? I mean, the worst that we can do is Merton Hanks was, like, the rules official for the Pac-12. I mean, that can be problematic. But that's not good at all. That's not that bad at all. All right. Well,
I'm Googling terrible people named Merton, and nothing pops up immediately.
See?
So.
Oh.
That's good.
Wow.
Merton Miller was a winner of a Nobel Prize.
Until we introduced the world to Merton Meringue.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. First problematic Merton. You're going to kill that name. All right. Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
I mean, do we have to?
Yeah, we kind of do.
Yeah.
We kind of do. Coming up today, we have audios from Jonathan Smith, Michigan State head coach, who has asked some pretty ridiculous questions at his press conference leading up to their visit to Eugene and the University of Oregon on Friday night. We got a lot of NFL stuff. The trade carousel continues to churn. And Jeff Rust found something that may be the most Well, it might be the best sports oddity that we could have this year.
Yeah, it's tough to put a moniker on that one.
It's a little bit different. We're going down a weird rabbit hole, but dare I say I'm here for this rabbit hole that we will go down. Where we got to start, though, you, my friend, have been blazering so hard the last couple of days. Let's blazer hard.
Let's go.
I wanna start with blazering a little hard today.
Let's do it.
All right?
I'm open.
Blazers have opened up their training camp, the sights, sounds, and news from the Portland Trail Blazers after their first 2 days in Rip City. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That made me warm. It is Wrestling Wednesday. Finally, Russ was thrown for a curveball yesterday, Danny. Because I was down in Eugene on a Tuesday, he was just, he was in cruise control.
I was all discombobulated.
He usually is down on Wednesday. So it was Wrestling Wednesday for the first hour. Yeah. And then I heard Ultimate Warrior and I was like, is this just in the rotator now?
I think, well,
because I'd be down for that.
I think first was the Ultimate Warrior, and then what really gave it away was the Big Show.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Dirt stole that from me today, too.
Get out of town.
I heard that as a bump back on Dirt and Sprague this morning.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Whoa. Do we have to have a talk with the morning guys?
Yeah.
Let them know that they're crossing lines.
Yeah,
that can't be crossed.
They're appropriating music like Jeff is appropriating names.
Right? Unbelievable. We will not stand for this.
He laughs because it hurts.
I'm going to get you. I don't know how yet.
I know. Well, you have all these drops that you've already used against me. All right. You've been at Portland Trail Blazers media day and practice the last 2 days.
Indeed.
I accused my sister twice.
Damn.
That one's in there.
Media day, you came in after and you said tempering of the expectations. And it seems as if yesterday, after day one of practice, those expectations are continuing to be tempered by the franchise and this team. What has been the feeling and the buzz kind of around the facility so far?
Yeah, no, it's a weird, weird spot to be because everyone knows the deal. But they're still professionals. Like, they still think that they can come in and they can win and they can, you know, upset the apple cart and be the team that does it and blah, 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 blah. Like, that, you just have to play those mental tricks on you because there's 82 games and you can't go into a season thinking we're going to be the worst team in basketball.
No.
So.
And this goes back to players don't tank, franchises do.
Yeah, and coaches don't tank. It's right. The organization. Like, you know, they'll pull guys off the floor, then guys will have injuries and 10-day contracts will happen. Just kind of looking at things, the interest in this team is that they aren't that interesting. And I know that sounds super weird, but like, the storylines aren't that crazy. It's development. And you have to really be willing to dive into that to enjoy the season. for all the people that are trying to sell themselves on the idea of like, well, they could surprise some people. No, they can't. No, they can't. They just don't have the talent for it. And that's okay.
I found myself going into this rabbit hole, though, and just being like, well, they could win 25, 30 games, maybe.
But see, here's the thing is they can't because the organization, when it comes time, will not let them.
Okay.
Developers, developers, developers,
yep.
Developers.
That's what we're doing.
Developers,
mm-hmm.
Developers.
Yep.
Developers, 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 developers.
Yep, that part. But no, the... It is about development this year, and the storylines are going to be Shaedon Sharpe. It's going to be Anthony Simons. I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be Danny Avdia. I think people are going to very quickly become massive Danny Avdia fans.
Yeah,
he is going to bring something this team has needed for quite a few years, and not only his what he can do on the court, but his mentality and his attitude. I've already had some people kind of push back on the idea that Donovan Klingon, he's not going to play a ton. Like I've been pretty open about this, the same way I was about Scoot Henderson, the same way I was about Shaedon Sharpe. You cannot just throw guys out there in the NBA. And we saw Donovan Klingon in Summer League do some things really well. He was very good in the glass, and he had room to grow on the glass, which is kind of crazy considering he averaged 14 and a half rebounds a game. He was a great shot blocker. His finishing ability and his touch inside was limited. His shooting ability was limited. He showed some passing chops for sure. But you're looking at what they have in the front court in DeAndre Ayton and Robert Williams III, and that's 48 minutes. Like that's DA is going to play 30, Rob Will is going to play 12 to 16, and so you get a shift of like 4 or 5 minutes from Donovan Klingon. And the thing about this year for Donovan Klingon, his development is becoming an NBA athlete. He's 7'3", 290 pounds. He is one of the literal biggest humans to come through the NBA combine in 20 years. It's him and Zach Edey. Like, that's what we're talking about. Like, he is an enormous human by every measure. So, when you have those guys, they don't typically go out there and play 30 minutes a night. Like, well, Zach Edey's going to do it. Zach Edey came into the combine a year ago and was told to go back to college because he wasn't in shape to play in the NBA. And then he went out and defied the odds and was a guy who played 38 minutes a night.
Yeah.
Just an absolute monster, like a one of one, right? So you're looking at all these things this season, and you could you see like minor tweaks from Anthony Simons or DeAndre Ayton? Sure. Could you see growth from Tumani Kamara, Jabari Walker, or Duop Reith, or any of those guys? Sure. But the thing that you're looking at, and I think the two single most important things for this team right now are Shaedon Sharpe and Danny Avdia. It's not Scoot Henderson. Because even the best version of Scoot Henderson, to me, is better playmaking Marcus Smart, which is a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's more floor raiser than ceiling raiser.
I think, but in that context, though, if you take the knuckleheadedness out of Marcus Smart, that's exactly who you want to be a part of your team.
Yeah, hard-nosed defender. He's a winning player, multifaceted. But again, the playmaking and lack of offense is an issue. And I think Scoot has, more natural offensive ability as a playmaker. The shooting, I think it's probably going to be roughly the same. Maybe Scoot profiles is a little bit better. But a big-bodied, strong guard, and Scoot does look like he's put on even more size. He looked huge when I saw him in practice.
Nice.
But the biggest question to me is Shaedon Sharpe. Is he new era Brandon Roy, or is he guard Andrew Wiggins? Like, because I don't think there's a world where Shaedon Sharpe's bad. You know what I mean? Like that world doesn't really exist.
But if he's injured,
well, yeah. But I mean, I'm talking yeah. all things being yeah. equal, like. He's an NBA player, and he's good, at bare minimum, he's a plus rotation player. His athleticism alone is going to get him to that point. So you're waiting to see is he a key component of a good team going forward, or is he just a really good player?
I think the question is, like with Scoot though, is what do we need to see from him this year to convince us that he wasn't a whiff at number three?
Here's the thing. I don't think he's a whiff at number three if he becomes a guy who is like the playmaking Marcus Smart. Like that's a really good player. Like, and people hear that, or when I say, like, guard Andrew Wiggins for Shaden Sharpe, people are like, oh, that's not good. I'm like, there's 5,000-plus players in NBA history. You know how many guys have averaged, you know, 18, 5, and 5?
Well, so when you say more playmaking Marcus Smart, are we including the defense
yes,
in there?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm saying, like, I think he has the ability to be a plus defender. Like, I do. Right. Because he's big, he's strong, he's got long arms.
What does that look like that this end. Year, though?
Figuring it out. That's the thing, is it's figuring it out. And I've seen a bunch of people talk about it. You know, there's going to be it's competition in camp.
Yeah.
I don't see what competition there is. I think Anthony Simons is your starting one. Shaden's the two. Denny's the three. JG's the four. And DA's the five. And I would be stunned.
See, and that's where I've talked myself into being like, well, Chimani Kamara coming off the bench, Robert Williams coming off the bench, Donovan Klingon coming off the bench. You know, Scoot, if he does figure it out, we still don't know what it is mm-hmm. for him quite yet. It's like, that could be 25 to 30 games.
Well, here's the thing.
That they win.
Oh, the guys you just named, who's the offensive player in that group?
Anthony Simon, or the guys I just named?
Yeah.
The guys I just named.
The defense isn't going to be that good.
But it's like, it's bad. Offensively,
it's bad.
They don't have a creator.
No, it's...
Yeah.
And now you see why.
The team scores.
Yeah.
Run the triangle.
Yeah.
Hey, Scotty, triangle.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to see what Chauncey Billups, Nate Bjorken, and that coaching staff kind of comes up with the things they want to do stylistically, offensively. And I asked Chauncey about that yesterday. I was like, are you glad that you know, in the offseason you bring in guys like Denny and you bring in Donovan and you get Rob back? Because, to be blunt, they were the worst screening team in the NBA last year. They were not good at it.
They were bad at a lot of things. Yeah,
I think DA is a really good player. I think his lack of physicality on screens, it's like the single thing that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
Because you can see him doing it. And when he does, it allows both him and Ant to be significantly more successful. But that's what I'm interested in seeing this year, is like, just putting a more physical guy like Denny on the court, does DA feed off that? Does JG feed off that? Like, those are the things that I'm watching this year. And I know people are like, well, I want more. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, here's the text of Vancouver 4 text line. Would you trade the number 3 overall pick for Marcus Smart? And this is where I think people need to kind of reframe, is that you weren't going to get a guy who you sit there and be like, yeah, that's number 3 with that draft class out the gate or ever. And we've talked about this before, but I think it's an important qualifier when you're talking about what a rebuilding team is, right? And as a rebuilding team, you try to get as many of the pieces that you can until you land the transcendent player. The Blazers in that draft at 3 weren't going to get a transcendent player, right?
Well, except Joe Cronin told us that they were getting a generational talent.
Well, that is why you're seeing expectations have been tempered this year.
Yes.
Like that, they're stopping all of that.
And this is
they got out over their
thing.
Well, they got out over their skis with the hype of Scoot, because people were like, "Ah, the number 3 pick, going to be a great player." He wasn't. But you look at it and you go, "All right, over the course of a rebuild, you do take some swings, and if you connect on, you know, a guy who is not the transcendent player." And we saw Scoot is not the transcendent player. He is not the guy you hitch your wagon to and drag to a NBA finals or a Western Conference finals, for that matter.
His development story is not written yet.
But what you do is you say, all right, now that we know of Scoot Henderson not being that transcendent player, can we mold him into being a Marcus Smart type for when we do get that guy? And like, that's the big thing. And this is the slippery slope of a tank and a rebuild, right? Is that how long are you going to have to wait for?
You look
and
at Detroit. You look at Charlotte.
Washington.
So much of it. And again, they were a ping pong ball off Wemby.
Yeah.
They're a ping pong ball off Wemby.
But and like, that's not soon. What people want to hear. But
no, but I mean, like, that's the luck. That's the luck that comes with this. And
I think that's where you're at. Like, no, you wouldn't trade the in theory, you would not trade the number 3 pick overall for Marcus Smart. But what they're trying to do is get in the Cooper Flag, you know, Ace Bailey.
Yeah.
Boozer, and twins, whatever.
They were also a coin flip away from Hakeem Olajuwon.
No, and that's the reality.
Still talk about it.
And that's right? The reality of this stuff. And again, Marcus Smart also spent 2 years in college.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're when you're talking about, like, would you trade the number 3 overall pick for Marcus Smart right now? No.
Yeah. And like this, like Zach in Portland. So the Blazers are in trust the process mode. Gotta love that. Yeah. No, it sucks. This it's is not a good. It's
this
not a good place.
We're trying to tell everybody, like, you have to wait this thing out. Now, here's the thing: if luck goes their way, yeah. And I've mentioned this before, I have talked to God only knows how many GMs about Cooper Flagg, particularly after what happened in Las Vegas with the Team USA, and the stuff that I've asked, I'm like, have you ever seen a high school player play like this? And to a man, the answer is no. I had one GM said like. The closest thing I can remember is Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin was an absolute freak coming out of high school, and his dominance in college basketball was an absolute barnstorming tour. Cooper Flagg is going to play in an insane level at Duke. And if things broke perfectly for Portland, they get the number one overall pick, and you get Cooper Flagg. It becomes like 2006 all over again for the Trailblazers. You have Shaedon Sharpe, you've got Anfernee Simons, you've got Scoot Henderson, you've got Denny Avdia, you've got Cooper Flagg, you've got Donovan Clingan.
Yeah.
You've got too much. Like the oldest guy basically of your core, quote unquote, at that point is Ant at 26. Because the likelihood is that you're going to move on from Jeremy, you're going to move on from Rob, you're going to move on from DA eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it starts to make sense because you've got a guy who is the son of your universe. And that's... I hate to say that in, what, October 2nd, that we're looking at May 23rd.
No, we are.
But that's the like this season is about development for a few guys, certainly. But if you're talking, like, forecasting this out and how it matters for the Blazers as a franchise, the single thing that matters the most is figuring out if Shaedon Sharpe has the juice. And beyond that, can they get the number one overall pick?
All right. Well, that's sad, but it's where the Blazers are.
Like, look, I don't want it to be that way. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch Scoot or Donovan or Denny and enjoy like all those other things. But if you're talking holistically, stripping all these things away, that's what matters. And I wish there was another way to go about this, about building a team in the NBA. But there is just not a path that exists that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we are. 2 days in, October 2nd. That's our conversations surrounding the Portland Trailblazers. It was good stuff that we got to, but I think for a lot of Blazer fans, it's just like, this is the reality.
Yes.
This is where you're at.
And strap in.
Yeah. Get ready, because it's not going to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be pretty.
No.
All right. White Snake, here I go again.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not on their own.
Well.
You know? It is a lonely road.
Going down the only road I've ever known.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that ain't that the truth. All right, let's get back to football. Tyreek Hill in his downward spiral in Miami. It's starting, folks. First is the Jeff appropriating Jeff with a J with SportsCenter. All right, we knew that this was going to happen eventually. We started seeing it on Monday Night Football. And we actually started seeing it last week, called this shot, Tyreek Hill without Tua Tagovailoa. There was going to be a point where he said, yeah, I'm out. I'm not doing this. I don't want to do this.
Oh, no way.
I can't handle a life with no quarterback in this offense. Well, we started to see the signs of it. He was very disgruntled. During Monday Night Football when, I don't know, they couldn't move the ball. And I think it was at halftime, Jared Goff had more receiving yards than Tyreek Hill had, which is 7. And a touchdown for Jared Goff. And a touchdown.
He said it was his first catch ever. It was definitely his first touchdown.
Oh, get out of town.
Yeah.
Get out of town. Well, this morning, Twitter set ablaze by Tyreek Hill tweeting out, woke up to trade news. Exciting. And everybody went, oh, no. Now, that is totally vague enough for Tyreek Hill to play innocent, play dumb, and say, that's not what I meant. I wasn't talking about anything with me.
I was talking about Davante Adams.
He could have 100% could have been talking about Davante Adams and what is going on the trade market. But we all know. We all know. We all know Tyreek Hill.
Come on. Again, this is the wide receiver tweet.
Because I think this is also one of these situations where you look at it and you go, Tyreek is looking down a future where Miami doesn't have a quarterback. Because is Tua coming back this year?
Ever?
Well, no, probably not. Ever? No, probably not. So what are they going to do? Are they going to go and sign a big-name free agent quarterback? Because that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, who's even available?
I mean, nobody.
Is any quarterback going into a final year of a deal?
Yes, Sam Darnold is.
Oh, that's probably the closest thing.
Sam Darnold is on a one-year deal in Minnesota. And, you know, he went and learned under Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. He's in Kevin O'Connell's offense. It's been simplified. If he wants to go to a place where he can thrive, it would be with Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, that makes sense, but... So if you're the Dolphins, that'd be the lone reason for trying to hold on throughout the year, because if you're the Dolphins, you're just kind of waiting this out, and this season is what it is. And again, it's kind of playing off the Blazers part of this. Like, you have a gap year.
Yeah.
You just drive this thing into the side of the mountain for a year, and then, I mean, hell, you could actually treat this like the Minnesota Vikings if you wanted to, when they kind of coming full circle on diva wide receivers, when they moved on from Stephon Diggs and used a first-round draft pick to go get Justin Jefferson.
Here are your free agent quarterbacks for 2025. Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Jacoby Brissett, Taylor Heineke, Marcus Mariota, Drew Locke, Jarrett Stidham, Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, Mac Jones, Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, Case Keenum, Mason Rudolph.
So Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Or Justin Fields.
Rudolph has been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
When he's in there.
I don't think that Tyreek Hill wants to hitch his wagons to.
Probably not.
Mason Rudolph, though.
Or Sam Darnold.
Well, Sam Darnold is a more viable option than Mason Rudolph is.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a small sample size this season, but yep. He definitely has exceeded expectations.
It would change if his name was Merton Rudolph.
You're damn right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Merton Rudolph definitely sounds like a real person.
He'd be 100 years old. But yeah, you're looking at that list, and you're probably going Darnold or Fields as the guys that have been productive this year.
Yeah.
Does Mike McDaniel want Justin Fields? Probably not. But he could,
Mike Tomlin want Justin Fields?
He kind of does right now, because his other options.
Well, over the alternative,
Russ,
yes.
Wilson, and Fields threw for 300 last week, and he wasn't the reason why they lost.
Fair.
He wasn't the reason why they
That's
lost.
That's always what you want from your quarterback, to not be the reason why you lost.
They should have won that game with Justin Fields and the way he played. But Tyreek Hill opening up this whole can of worms because of the fact that, look, Tyler Huntley isn't going to win them games. Tua isn't going to be walking through that door anytime soon. This is going to be a bigger issue, and we are week four of the NFL season.
Yeah.
But it's just the beginning.
You're also hitting a world where, for the Dolphins, they're in an unfortunate situation now, because there are likely multiple wide receivers now that are on the trade market,
yeah.
Which is going to drive value down. And now the Raiders are a team with Davante Adams, who aren't in any hurry, I think, to move Davante, whereas Tyreek is probably, if he is going down this path, I would imagine is going to be more Terrell Owens, Stephon Diggs-esque in being disruptive than Davante, but I'm just going off of prior career transgressions.
Yeah, I think the Raiders may be in more of a hurry to get rid of him than is what is being led
on. Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean,
because you don't want him around.
No, because... Look,
and teams don't want him to just be sitting idle.
No, and to be clear, Davante Adams was one of the players that made a business decision.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what's feeding into this as it pertains to the locker room and that stuff. So for that reason, you don't want him around, because that's a problem. But Davante is still, I think, even among diva wide receivers, there's a level of professionalism there where Tyreek would set the house on fire. I mean,
well, his kids let set the house on fire. Danny, it wasn't him.
I mean,
but he would get that lighter.
Yeah,
exactly. He'd walk in and he'd do it himself.
Yeah. He might pour the gasoline on it.
Hey, let's get to Devontae Adams, because there is a little bit of news. And oh my gosh, it's so surprising where Devontae Adams wants to go. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, Devontae Adams in the Raiders here in Splitsville. Shocking headline today. Jets, Saints, high on Devontae Adams' trade wish list.
Oh, no way. You and I talked about Devontae last week before this went public about, hey, if the Raiders are going to make this deal, I was like, there was some talk about, maybe the Chiefs could get involved. And my first thought was, there isn't a snowball's chance in hell that the Raiders will ever deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, let alone sending them a likely Hall of Fame wide receiver on a title year.
Yeah, and
that's not happening.
That is never going to happen.
I mean,
because Mark Davis may be an idiot, but he knows one thing, that his dad would be rolling over in his grave if Devontae Adams was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs or the LA Chargers or the Denver Broncos.
Yes. I mean, Marcus Allen
or the San Francisco 49ers.
Marcus Allen going to the Chiefs was not, you know, a thing that went over well
in free agency.
Yeah, even in free agency was not a thing that went over well.
Yeah.
So if you think that they're dealing with them, you're out of your bleeping mind. Now, between the Jets and the Saints, my thought has been ever since that it was a possibility, was the Saints would be the leading team here.
Derek Carr, Fresno State and Raiders teammates, also Jets, obviously the connection of Rodgers, Devontae Adams. The Jets one is really interesting, because if the Jets pull the trigger on that, Aaron Rodgers doesn't, there's something going on with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson is getting open.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers is like, nah, Alan Lazard. Feed it to him. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
And then if you were to bring in another receiver, Garrett Wilson's like looking around like Garrett Wilson is a young, really good receiver.
Really
One thing that we know about Aaron Rodgers, though, he doesn't like young receivers. What does that do to the development? What does that do to the chemistry in the locker room when you bring in a guy like Devontae Adams, who is not a rock the boat teammate by any means, but what does it do to Garrett Wilson? And does that free up more opportunities for Garrett Wilson? Or does that mean that he's getting less looks, less touches from Aaron Rodgers, which he's already getting fewer and fewer? That would be interesting, because that's also not their problem right now. Like, okay, bring in another receiver. Good luck Aaron Rodgers having enough time
to get rid of
to throw the ball to
him.
I think, and I said this yesterday, and I know you feel the same way, the Commanders do make sense with Terry McLaurin being on the outside, Jaden Daniels and his growth in development. But the one thing that I would caution with that is the Commanders in Cliff Kingsbury, he has a young quarterback that doesn't have to feed anybody.
No.
And in that system, it is a equal opportunity offense, right? Throw to the open guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah. And take what's given to you.
Would Cliff Kingsbury be like, I love having great players, which I think everybody would want Devontae Adams, but does that mean that Jaden Daniels then starts locking on to him and feeling like he needs to feed him more? And then when you have a young quarterback who's completing 82% of his passes,
set the NFL record for the first month of the season,
and is doing really damn well, I still think if you're Washington, you go and you're like, yeah, we want a Devontae Adams on our team. But is that a place Devontae Adams wants to go? Because although you have a young, really dynamic and good quarterback out of the gate, they're not a Super Bowl contender, but neither are the Jets or the Saints.
Mm-mm.
But it's comfort for him.
Sure. And I think you take a look at this, and there was a note that the Raiders are looking for a second round pick plus something. You know, what does that look, what does the something look like? And if you're the Commanders, I don't look at this as like skipping steps, because it's not like Devontae Adams is cooked by any means. He's still really, really good. Getting him another weapon in an opportunity to win the division. Like, winning the NFC East is 100% on the table right
now. No doubt.
For them.
In play.
And if you've been the Commanders for under the Snyder era, and basically the second you get rid of him and you get this new quarterback, and you can maybe give up a little bit of capital and probably run away, if it works, run away with the division. I think you almost have to
try it. Give it a whirl.
You know what I mean? Like, I typically don't go down this path. I don't think when you're young, you should be giving up assets to kind of like chase something that isn't there. But I think these instances are unique in that the Commanders have sucked so egregiously for so long. It's like the Sacramento Kings. Like when they go out and they flip Tyrese Halliburton for Domantas Sabonis. It was like, oh, you know, revisionist history. Tyrese is better. Da, da. Yeah, but the fit made more sense for the Kings, and they broke a playoff drought of 17 bleeping years. Do you think that matters to them? Yes, it
sure
does.
Is,
so,
Bob.
And if the Commanders all of a sudden are a team that now, not are they relevant, they matter, I think that's a thing that counts for them.
Yep, no doubt. And we'll see where this goes. It's in its infancy. But again, I believe the Raiders want to get this done sooner rather than later. And there is some buzz about, all right, would this be a situation where the Jets maybe don't have to give up a second round pick? Maybe they give up Hassan Reddick and the Raiders sign Hassan Reddick to the extension he wants. And then you have Hassan Reddick and Max Crosby on either side of your defense.
Mm.
Is that enough to sweeten the pot?
Or maybe they just swap Devontae for Garrett Wilson.
And don't do that to Garrett Wilson. Don't do that for Garrett Wilson. Just don't. Maybe. And that'd be so dumb on the Jets to do that because
Garrett Wilson's really good.
He's really good, and he's not 32 years old.
No.
Like, he's 32. Devontae Adams, 32. He's on the bad side of 30. Yeah. And it essentially is a one-year rental, and then you can see where you go after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it doesn't work out, he gone. Or you pay him $35 million over the next two seasons. And that is a steep price tag for a guy on the wrong side of 30. And you better be ready and willing to win a damn Super Bowl. So I don't think you get rid of Wilson, but if you can say, hey, Raiders, we'll give you Hassan Reddick in a fifth.
It would depend on how much Reddick actually wants, but I think it's an option.
Apparently, he wants the moon, is what he wants, because he still hasn't shown up in New York.
Such a weird, like, it's weird that this is happening in New York, and we really aren't hearing about it that much, right?
No, because everybody knows what it is. Everybody knows what he wants.
Yeah. Well, and there's no movement on it.
None. He literally has not been there.
Yeah.
He showed up one day, took a physical, left, hasn't been back.
And he's given up a lot of money.
A lot of money. Hmm. A lot of milk. Yep.
Apropos of nothing, this is the only NFL owner that I could see possibly doing this. Apparently, a little while ago, Jerry Jones stopped Cowboys practice to land his helicopter on the practice field.
Yeah. And all the cameras are there to catch it.
Of course.
Because what's the best way to do something if you're Jerry Jones to distract from your terrible product? Go make an ass of yourself. Look, Jerry knows this. He's not an idiot about this stuff. He is the number one Barnum and Bailey circus selling dude on the planet. That dude is always selling. Always.
They're such a mess.
No, they are. They're a complete and utter disaster. And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Because it covers up the stinkiness of the Raiders.
I don't think it does.
It does.
I don't.
It does.
I mean, I don't think it does right now.
It does.
Because you have no expectations?
I don't know. We're all still picking up that stank.
I don't know, man. The Browns.
I don't know. The Browns' best player right now wants to be traded.
The Browns lost to a team that was missing like eight guys, eight starters last week. So
yeah, but nobody cares about the Browns.
Fair. Stinky.
So where are we at here? Mm. Where are we at here?
Stinky.
Mm-hmm.
It is stinky. All right, let's get to hour number two. Let's dip into college football because Jonathan Smith took some questions earlier this week that, whoa, Nelly. Michigan State Press has quite the take quakes towards Jonathan Smith. We'll get to that next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way.
Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.